Welcome to the Passion Over Profits podcast with Top Son Goku, bringing you your weekly dose of Dragon Ball Super Collector's content. Stay tuned for exclusive interviews with some of the most knowledgeable DBS collectors in the community.
Welcome to the very first episode of the Passion Over Profits podcast. My name is Top Son Goku, and damn, I'm excited to bring more content for you guys on the channel. So today I want to discuss the future of Dragon Ball Super card game. Where is it heading towards in terms of short term, midterm, and maybe a little bit of the long term as well. So if that's something that you're interested in, that's something you want to hear, then make sure to stay tuned and listen all the way till the end. Now, before we start, I just want to thank you a lot for listening to this podcast. This is the very first podcast that I'm recording. This is like the 10th or the 20th take already. I have no idea what I'm doing, but hey, I'm trying to, you know, learn it along the way. I'm just trying to contribute to the community. And, you know, I've already an established Instagram account. I have a few videos on YouTube, but I just want to, you know, explore the different mediums out there and see what happens. So, you know, let's just start. The future of Dragon Ball Super card game. Now, to be able to explain how I personally feel about our favorite card game, I just want to draw a comparison with Pokemon. I know it's a little bit of an unfair comparison, but many of you know I've only been collecting Dragon Ball Super card game since 1.5 years. And before that, I collected Pokemon. So for me, it's very easy to make that comparison. And I think it's only fair to try to compare both, because Pokemon is very well established. There is that history, and it's easy to look back and learn from it. So back in 2016, when Pokemon Go was released, man, it brought a lot of people into the hobby. It brought a lot of attention to Pokemon in general. And just people that were naturally drawn to collecting cards just picked up their childhood hobby and started enjoying it just like the old days. And that's what I did, right? I played a little bit of Pokemon Go with my brother and my girlfriend. You know, that was nice. That was really cool. But playing the Game Boy games, collecting the cards, watching the movies, that was what I was interested in. And I can only imagine that lots of other people felt that way. Now, of course, like, the Pokemon card game is already massive back then. It was massive, right? Back in the day, in 1999, I mean, it was so booming. Our entire generation got exposed to that. And in 2016, when I searched on YouTube, I could find already a lot of content out there. There was a lot of content available to consume, learn, and appreciate. And it was really nice, because it reinforced that interest and it allowed me to develop that into a passion, right? And of course, I ended up buying cards and had lots of fun, and I was able to learn what it meant to be a collector. And of course, since then, the hobby has exploded way past that Pokemon Go hype. And I think there's a massive community out there now. In order for it to die now, in order for Pokemon to die now, I think we would have to have like a third world war, right? I think that's how massive Pokemon is right now. It's so established. I think Pokemon is just indestructible at this point. Now, to gear it back to DBS, I've been a massive Dragon Ball Z fan as a kid. I used to draw Super Saiyan Goku in school, and I used to watch the Dragon Ball Z episodes on TV when I could. But I never really got into the PlayStation games or even the few cards that I saw as a kid were kind of lame. In Europe, you didn't have like the DBZ score. That wasn't really a thing. And Pansy, also, we didn't see that here in Europe, or I didn't, at least. There was a little bit of Cardass, because as many of you know, like the Cardass is really a big thing in France, and I'm from Belgium, so it's a neighbor country, so we kind of had that a little bit, but it was kind of a rarity. Compared to Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, it was nothing. Now, of course, fast forward to my university years, I was able to rewatch the entire Dragon Ball franchise. So I watched Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z. I watched the movies. I watched Dragon Ball GT. And then GT was recently when that I rewatched it all. But man, when DBS got released, man, it was a storm. It was like meant to be. I just rewatched all of Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and the movies, and bam. Dragon Ball Super released in 2016, I think, right? So, and mind you, that happened around the same time than Pokemon Go. So I developed that Pokemon hobby alongside with watching the Dragon Ball Super episodes weekly. So that happened in parallel. But here's what is interesting. I had no clue that Dragon Ball Super cards were a thing. Like, no clue. Like, the first time ever that I saw a Dragon Ball Super card was in March 2020 during the first lockdown, and I watched a video of Rhymestyle. He has a cards YouTube page, right, a YouTube channel, and I was watching Pokemon videos, and I just clicked next, and there it was. It was a Tournament of Power booster box opening, and he pulled the Victory Strike Goku. And as many of you know, I switched completely after seeing that video. It was crazy, man. Seeing those cards, man. It was so beautiful, so nice, so amazing. And it got me immediately into that rabbit hole, like, Dragon Ball Super, what? And I went straight for it, right? So my first ever purchase was a Tournament of Power booster box, but unfortunately it was French. I wanted to open it, but fortunately it was French. And then straight afterwards, I just purchased two Awakened Powers in PSA 10 from someone that is now a friend, Jurassic Trade on Instagram. So yeah, since doing that switch from Pokemon to DBS, man, it was so fun. I never looked back. I sold my Pokemon cards, and now I'm all in into Dragon Ball Super, and it's just amazing. I think the community also on Instagram is just top notch. Now, before that, we talk about the future. I just want to say, like, when I entered the hobby, I purchased those two PSA 10 Victory Strike Gokus. I purchased that for $1,100, and I was kind of nervous. It was a big purchase for me back then. It still is, obviously, but when I entered the hobby, it was at a low point. The Victory Strike Gokus were selling on eBay for like $250. That was after a spike in 2019 when they were selling for maybe $700 or something. But when I entered, man, the hobby was at a low point. And I've seen our community grow massively ever since. And I think COVID played a big role. Like, we were stripped from our usual entertainment, and we were kind of drawn to consume more content online, and therefore also more exposure to social media, and you know, all these factors just happened all at once. And of course, we were more exposed to cards, and the more you spend your time on Instagram, man, I tell you, your expenses go up. But when I entered the hobby, this is what's interesting, is that there was nothing out there online. There was nothing out there. Like, I was searching on YouTube, and I could find like three booster box openings, one from Rhymestyle, one from Niogenics, and then one underground person online, and that's it, right? I had to resort to using hashtags on Instagram to find people that were actually collecting Dragon Ball Super. That's how crazy it was. And I think, I mean, to me, the fact that this card game survived COVID is sometimes kind of mind-blowing, because it was just so low when I started, right? And I just collected out of, hey, this is cool, right? So, yeah, the content on YouTube was really not there. It was mostly players' content, or like the super players were there already. But, I mean, I can't help it. To me, that content is boring. I just cannot resonate with that content, and especially the super players, man, they just don't speak to me, right? So of course, luckily, we had Instagram, and there was already a small community going on, And I was able to meet with, not meet, but talk to those Instagram collectors. And I'm very grateful to now be able to call these collectors my friends. So you just have to check my Instagram account at TopSongGoku. I talk about these guys a lot, and they will definitely be guests on this podcast later on. So stay tuned for that. When I started collecting DBS, man, I was shocked. Like, those cards were mind-blowingly... those cards were such high quality. They were stunning. They were beautiful. Like, it was incredible how cool they are. And they are actually very collectible. Like, there is rarity to it. Bandai just seemed to do everything right in this card game when I entered. With my limited perspective, I thought, man, this is like the perfect card game. It's incredible. And yet the hobby was dead. There was nothing going on. No content to consume. Even like the community I was talking about, they were all kind of engaged also in Pokemon, because Pokemon was a hype thing to do, and like the Dragon Ball stuff was just dead. So the community felt to me like a little group of people that could fit in my living room. Like, that's how small the community felt back then. And the more I collect DBS, the more striking it felt, like this disconnect between how good or amazing these cards were and how small the community was and how dead the hobby was. It just felt off for some reason. But hey, I continued. It just felt amazing. Being in touch with that community just felt like family in a sense. And I could feel, but in a way, in the background, I could feel all these Dragon Ball Z fans that were hungry for cards, hungry for more content, hungry for more of an engaging hobby, right? I could just feel it. And the only thing is that we didn't really have good content creators back then. It's just like nobody was really pushing the hobby back then. And Bandai, if you know Bandai, they're bad at marketing. They're bad at advertising. You will never see an ad of these cards on YouTube or on Facebook. You will never see an ad. I think they work more from a word to mouth kind of thing, right? And of course now it's kind of working now, because I mean, I've never identified myself as a content creator before, but just the fact that there was nothing out there just inspired me to contribute to that community. I've always been more of a consumer, but yet here I am in that micro community, and people are enjoying the little content that I'm putting on my Instagram page. So I'm just continuing. And it's just been amazing creating content and feeling the response and creating those connections, man. That was amazing. Now, of course, I don't want to say that I'm the reason that this happened, but I know that whenever I was stepping up my game in terms of content, that my friends were also stepping up their game in terms of content. And the Pokemon collectors that were also subscribed or following our Instagram pages, of course, got exposed to that amazing content. And you could just feel this audience getting interested in the cards. Like, you could feel our community growing by the day, because there are way more Dragon Ball Z fans in Pokemon, in the Pokemon community, than you'd think, right? Dragon Ball Z, it's a huge part of the 90s, all right? It's a huge part. And if you're interested in Pokemon, chances are you're also a Dragon Ball Z fan. So Dragon Ball Super just fits into place immediately. It just like meant to be. So slowly but surely, the community grew a little bigger every day, every week, every month. And it's just kind of snowballed, like over the entire year, just grew exponentially. And I think we hit like a little bit of a plateau right now, because I mean, in terms of the market, which, man, the spike of November, December, January, February, man, that spike was insane. It was unsustainable, I think. But I can see that small community that I could fit into my living room now is just massive, and that's just mind-blowing. It's really cool to see. Now, the reason why I brought Pokemon up was just to draw that comparison between Pokemon and DBS in terms of content that's available online. in 2016 when we started collecting Pokemon again, that YouTube content was out there. It was available. So we developed our passion pretty easily. So the learning curve of the entire hobby was pretty damn good. And so it was easy to get hooked on Pokemon. Whereas in DBS, I think the barrier of entry is still higher than Pokemon, because like a year ago, like I said, I had to resort to these hashtags and I had to build connections in order to learn about our TCG. Whereas in Pokemon, you could literally, you know, chill out, watch YouTube channels and literally know pretty much everything there is to know about the mainstream Pokemon stuff. Whereas in DBS, yeah, you will need to surf online and check the DBS card game website and have to go through the card list to discover the cards, because there's just not that much content out there for collectors. And so what I was trying to say is that our community is growing exponentially because the content is more readily available. I remember between October and January, like the amount of DMs that I was getting on Instagram asking for, hey, what are the cards out there? Just asking for basic resources. I mean, it was insane. It was insane. I was getting like 10 to 20 DMs every day just for basic questions. And then I just created like my start here highlights on Instagram. I started my YouTube channel and somehow like the basic questions pretty much disappeared. And I think, like I said, again, like my friends also stepped up their game, also started, educating the community and helping out the newbie. So I think we still need, there's still a huge room for improvement, because the barrier of entry for our hobby is still a little high. But I mean, I can see it fade away. I can just feel it fading away, because we're all stepping up our game together and it's just a matter of time. Now, of course, social media has a big impact on it all, because that's where the community feeling comes from. That's where we can engage in the hobby, right? But I think the reason why our card game is so successful right now, the reason why DBS is becoming more and more recognized as a force in the TCG world, being part in the big four next to Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic, I think it's because of the foundation that the Dragon Ball series laid out for our generation. Like the Dragon Ball has infected a huge fan base, a huge base of raging fans, and not just any fans. Like the Dragon Ball fans are adults, right? We have an adult fan base. Dragon Ball was first released like in the 80s, right? Dragon Ball Z was huge in the 90s, and most fans are just adults now. They have money to spend in the hobby. They are old enough to develop their passions and be active on social media. So I think again, like it just like all the stars are aligned right now for Dragon Ball Super. That's how I feel personally, right? So social media is a big thing, but I think the foundation that the Dragon Ball franchise has is just so massive. And it's just meant for greatness, in my opinion. When you think about it, like the character Goku, just timeless, just like Pikachu is for Pokemon. There are hundreds of millions of people that will recognize that character. Like, that's how big the Dragon Ball franchise is. We just needed a good enough card game to be able to direct those fans and satisfy that demand. That demand that was always there, and that's when DBS arrived. It was just a recipe for success. Now, of course, I mean, Dragon Ball Super wasn't the first Dragon Ball card game. Like, in fact, there have been many Dragon Ball cards produced prior to Dragon Ball Super, right? So in the year 2000s, we have Score Z. Was pretty big in America, apparently. When you see the community, it's still there. The prices are high. But I mean, the cards were basically screenshots from the series, right? And once the series stops, then there's no more content to base their card game from, right? So, and I think Score did lots of things right. So I mean, the foiling is amazing. They have limited and unlimited booster boxes. The game apparently was all right. But yeah, like I said, like when Dragon Ball Z ended, they no longer had content to produce their cards, and they kind of did Dragon Ball GT as well. But after GT, I mean, it's kind of done, right? And it was the beginning of the end. And then afterwards, we had Pan Z. That was also a pretty big thing in America, but I've been told that the game was a little bit lacking, and the cards have been printed to oblivion, so that like supply and demand was definitely not balanced, and stores just couldn't sell their stock at $20 a booster box. It's kind of starting to change, obviously, because now there's a lot of attention going to DBS, and lots of that attention also flows to these other card games. So I think that Panini can go back up. Because Score is established, it's still there. It's a niche market, but the collectors are still there. But Panini, it was kind of dead. You have a few Instagram accounts that are sharing still Panini cards, and I have a few Panini cards myself. I think the artwork is pretty cool, and the foiling and stuff, it's pretty cool as well. So I think Panini will start getting more popular with time. Just when you think like Pokemon, you have of course the main series like base sets, Fossil, Jungle, and Rocket. Like those are super huge, and ones that the collectors have kind of, you know, seen it all in these main sets, and they kind of branch off to other sets, and some also go to Cardass and Top Sun and whatever. So I think the same will happen with Dragon Ball. So Score and Pan Z will definitely. There's also a card game in 2008. I'm not too sure. I think it's just called Dragon Ball Card Game. That is also there. It's also pretty cool. They have nice cards as well, also with gold foiling or gold stamp. So I think these cards will grow with time, but I think the entire Dragon Ball card games will be driven by DBS, just because the DBS quality is just unrivaled. Now, I think as opposed to those older card games, I think the future of Dragon Ball Super Card Game is bright, especially for the coming couple of years. From a collector's perspective, of course, Bandai is doing a great job in producing their sets every 3 to 4 months. I think it's a little bit too much for a collector to always have to catch up, but I think it brings a lot of engagement in the community. We're all looking forward to the coming sets. We have the collector selection binders. There are the reprints, the arcade boosters that are also planned for later this year. And the players also will be able to finally play competitively again, instead of just being behind their webcams. So all these things are definitely things that we can look forward to in the next months. But something that is definitely going to help is that Bandai announced a new movie next year. And I just think that's gonna be massive, right? We also know that the Dragon Ball Super series will continue. We just don't know when, but I think that just like seeing the movies and the Dragon Ball series is gonna continue. I think we're covered already for the next 5 years, because that gives so much more content for Bandai to use in the card game. So lots more artworks. I hope that the production quality stays as good. I hope they're gonna bring texture back. That's my only concern. I don't know if I think the Unison Warrior series was just so successful that Bandai doesn't really have an incentive to use texture in their usual sets. So I think we'll just have the collector selection sets and then the regular sets. But I'm just hoping that the texture will come back. Right. So now, To come back to the future of Dragon Ball Super, and why I think that longevity will be there, is that Dragon Ball Super is not strictly dependent on the series. Because as good as the movies are gonna be, as good as the series is gonna be, DBS is just not dependent on the series. We've seen it like the DBS series has ended already for a while, and it's still going strong, and it's stronger than ever. Like, DBS is using content from the entire Dragon Ball universe, right? So they use Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super, Dragon Ball GT, Super Dragon Ball Heroes. They use the games, right? So that can only be a good thing in terms of longevity of the game, because they do have a lot of content to use, and that's just really good. Now, me personally, I'm not that interested in Xeno characters. I would rather have a card game based on canon characters, right? Canon stories and stuff. But you have to admit that having the ability to continue the card game, that the card game can continue month after month after month, set after set, that it just helps us collectors, because you might be a little bit less hyped for one set compared to the other, but in the end you're still engaged. And that's the most important thing, is that as a collector we have something to look forward to, that the hobby is still standing, and it keeps us busy, it keeps us active, and it just brings more awareness to the card game. When you look at Pokemon, they keep on producing sets no matter what. It just continues. It continues. It continues. And I've heard a quote from a huge Pokemon collector, and he said, "As long as Pokemon continues to produce their sets, we're all good. As long as they keep producing their sets, the hobby is live. The hobby continues. And we might be in a low point or a high point. It doesn't matter. As long as they continue producing their sets, then the hobby is alive and all is well." And I mean, the hype comes and goes, but the collectors stay. And that's the most important thing. So to conclude this episode, I think I'm around 25 to 30 minutes right now. I can say that I'm optimistic about our card game. Because as I said, I think we're set for the coming 5 years. And after those 5 years, man, our card game is established, right? Our card game is established. We have this massive base of raging adult fans. We're engaging in a community. We have money to spend on our cards, man. I think if nothing happens in terms of, you know, war or another pandemic or whatever, I think our card game is meant to be successful. Like, it just doesn't seem to me like Dragon Ball Super is slowing down even just a little bit. We might be in a dip in terms of the market, but I just don't see it slowing down. In fact, it seems like the demand is only increasing exponentially when there's new sets coming out. And again, like, that's just because of that foundation that the Dragon Ball franchise laid out for our entire generation. Like, they simply have to continue producing some sort of content, some sort of quality cards, and the community will be there. The community will do the rest. I mean, we're seeing more and more content creators out there. Bandai is listening to the community. They're doing the reprints, adjusting along the way, and doing what we want them to. In the end, that's basically what they're doing. So now, if you've listened to this podcast all the way till the end, all the way till now, I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for your attention. I really, really appreciate you. And I just hope that you enjoyed this episode. Like, I plan on bringing some friends of the collectors community over to talk and have such discussions. And I'll bring some players as well to talk about something else, and to switch it up a little bit and to broaden our perspective as collectors. Now, make sure to subscribe to the channel, leave a comment below, and let me know what your thoughts are on the future of our card game. Did I miss anything? Do you agree or disagree on what I said? Let me know. I look forward to reading the comments and engaging with you a little bit more. That's it for this episode, and I'll see you in the next one. Take care, guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Passion Over Profits podcast. Please subscribe and stay tuned for more DBS Collectors content. Interested in which guest we're having next week? Find out in the next episode of Dragon Ball's Passion Over Profits. Yes, Passion Over Profits.